You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. The phone number for Stop Feeding the Predators is area code 614-403-4545. We welcome calls, comments, suggestions, and complaints, so feel free to get a hold of us. You can also reach us through Facebook. You can send a private message. Or, of course, you can go to our website, which is stopfeedingthepredators.org, O-R-G. My name is Lynn, and today I want to talk about some things that are going on in the news, primarily teachers who have been sexually assaulting their students. I want to talk a little bit about what kind of things to look for, how to know if your kid is safe, and to give you some ideas that you can get through this. First of all, I am not surprised that teachers are being caught sexually assaulting children, because I have been sexually touched by a teacher, and it was done during class, and it was done with a room full of students, and the door to the classroom was open. Recently, there was a teacher who was sentenced, I believe, to 75 years for rape of a student, or multiple sexual assaults of his students. And parents were appalled that the doors were open, that other teachers could walk past and have a straight line of vision to this teacher's desk where these assaults allegedly, I won't say allegedly, where these assaults happened. And the thing to keep in mind is, if you don't know what to look for, you're going to miss it. So it doesn't matter if other adults, other teachers, other students were walking down the hall and saw this teacher with a student sitting on his lap, or whatever it is that he was doing with them. If they didn't understand the dynamics of child thinking, and they didn't understand how the kids felt and what was happening, even the person walking down the hall wouldn't know to intervene. Yes, it does happen even with the door open. It does happen in a full classroom full of other students. So many times people think, well, my child's safe because my child's never alone with the teacher. There's always other kids there. Well, that doesn't really do anything. When I was in seventh grade, a teacher that everyone trusted and respected came up behind me during class, put his hands on my shoulders, and started massaging. Now, I'm not talking about a happy, quick pat and walk away kind of thing. He was massaging my neck, my shoulders, and the upper part of my back. And I froze. In typical sexual assault victim stance, I stood there doing absolutely nothing, unable to speak, unable to move. And I don't know how long it went on, but I know it was a while. It wasn't a quick, you know, grab rub. It wasn't a congratulatory pat on the back, you know, hand across the back of the shoulders. It was a lengthy massage during class while everybody was working on their projects. And to this day, it is one of the most uncomfortable memories I have of being a kid in a class. The thing I'd like to point out about this is we had two teachers in my seventh grade science groups. There were two teachers for science. The one teacher had a reputation for looking at girls' breasts. And he had the reputation that if your grades weren't very good, you show a little more cleavage and your grades go up. And I specifically requested to not have that teacher. Everybody said the other teacher was just kind of normal, just kind of boring, just kind of whatever. I went for the boring, just kind of whatever. I wasn't assigned the creepy teacher that everybody talked about. If you're failing his class, show him some boobs and you'll get a better grade. I had the quote-unquote good teacher. I had the teacher that my friends didn't believe me when I told him what he did. So, of course, I didn't tell anyone else. I didn't tell any adults. But it made me uncomfortable. And if you think about it, you might be saying, well, all he did was rub your shoulders and your neck. Okay, if you're sitting at work and your boss comes up and massages your neck, your upper shoulders, your upper back for 5 to 6 minutes, is that acceptable? Because I'm betting it's not. And I don't even care if you're a licensed massage therapist. Without your permission, your boss does not have the right to come up and do that. So for anyone who says, oh, you're just exaggerating because of everything that came before, no. Because I've had a lot of people pat me on the back, put their arm around my upper back, hug me, touch my shoulders. I've even had some people come up and say, hey, can I give you a back rub? You look like you're stressed. And I'm like, that would be great. And they'll give me a back rub, and it's in the same area where this teacher was touching me. And I assure you, there was a huge difference behind the intent behind the massage versus my friend asking, hey, do you want a back rub? You look like you're stressed. Any inappropriate physical contact by a teacher, that means back rubs of any kind. Your student shouldn't even be allowed to say, yes, I would like a back rub. That should never be a question. This is a teacher. This is an educational setting. This is not snuggly time. This is not sexual time. This is not, gee, you look stressed out. Back rubs are always inappropriate. Touching of any kind that makes the student uncomfortable is inappropriate. And I'd like to also point out, I had another teacher in a different grade, and he was a social studies teacher. Actually, it was the same grade. It was the same grade. It was my social studies teacher in my seventh grade year. And he was, by everybody's standards, a great guy, had a lot of fun, very energetic. I want to say he was a coach of one of the sports teams, but I don't recall which one, so I'm not going to say which one. And my social studies grade was always very low. And just to give you an idea, I pretty much had an A or an A minus or a B or B plus in every subject. My social studies grade was typically F or D with hopes I can bring it up. And this teacher spent a significant amount of time talking about his partying days in college. He would talk about how drunk he would get with his friends. He would talk about, now keep in mind, I was 13 at the time. So my social studies teacher is educating me about drunken college behavior. And he talked about how if you wanted to go out with your friends and you wanted to have a great time, but you didn't want to get too drunk too fast because then the night would be over too quickly, if you ate a stick of butter or even a half a stick of butter, something that would help coat the lining of your stomach and you would be less likely to get drunk as quickly. For anybody listening, I ask you, why does a 13-year-old girl need to know how to not be as drunk as everyone else? And he wasn't giving this information to me exclusively. This was his presentation for the classroom. This was everybody's listening and laughing and, oh my gosh, Mr. I can't say his name because of being polite. I can't believe you did that, you know. These were our classes. He is also the only reason why I know what a hairy buffalo party is. For those of you who don't know, I will educate you as my seventh grade social studies teacher educated me. A hairy buffalo party is when everybody brings whatever alcohol they can get their hands on. And this, again, was geared towards the idea that we're not legally allowed to buy alcohol, so it's whatever we can find or get. We all take it to a party, and everybody dumps all of their alcohol into one big bowl, and then everybody drinks from that. again, I ask you, why do 13, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids need to be educated about that? I remember those stories. I can't tell you anything about social studies that I was even supposed to have learned in that grade. I did end up passing the class just barely with a very, very low C, but I managed to pass the class, and I can't tell you how. I remember asking him for help one day, and he said, "You're getting good grades in all the other classes. Why are you failing my class? I'm starting to take this kind of personally." And I said, "Well, I remember you talking about a hairy buffalo party, but I have no idea what you said about this or that that I got wrong on the test." And he said, "Oh, I never talked about that stuff. Don't you remember? I went over this." And he's telling me, according to the test, the questions I missed, "Don't you remember? I went over this. I went over this in class. I went over this." Sorry, your hairy buffalo story pretty much trumped anything you said about history or social studies in any way, shape, or form. So again, what to look for as a parent. If your child says they're not comfortable with a certain teacher, "I don't want that teacher, I want this teacher." Why? Is this teacher really good? "No, that teacher's really terrible." Investigate some of the rumors. Does the other teacher have rumored of giving A's for cleavage? Check that out. There's usually some truth to some rumors. You know, it had to start with something. Either somebody got mad and made it up as a lie and it kept getting spread, or there's some truth to it. If it's a lie, it needs to be stopped immediately. And if there's some truth to it, then you better get the person away from your kids. If your student is doing badly in one grade, in one class versus all the other classes, find out why. In my case, I was so enthralled in all these drunken stories that I didn't retain anything about social studies at all. Believe your kid. If your kid says, "I don't like this teacher," ask them why. What does the teacher do that you don't like? And parents, please don't say it with a tone. Please don't say, "Well, what are they doing that you don't like?" Because you're going to get nothing in response from your child. You have to have open communication with your kids at all times concerning all subjects, always. If you come home from work and your kid says, "I had a really crappy day. I am not going back tomorrow. I hate school." If you're stressed because you just came home from work and you have to figure out what to make for dinner, and you, as you walk in the door, are hit with this hatred for the day from your child, please, parents, tell your child, "It sounds like you've had a really bad day. I want to talk to you about it. I want to find out what's going on. Right now, I need to change my clothes and I need to get dinner started. While I'm changing my clothes, do you want to see if there's anything specific you want for dinner? Because I don't know what to make." It will tell your child that even though you don't have time right there that minute, you want to know why they had a bad day and they hate school. It also shows your child that you need to take care of yourself the same as they need to take care of themselves and be responsible for what their needs are. So that if you make a demand, "Hey, I need you to clean your room really fast. We've got company coming over and I've got somebody who wants to look at the new, you know, comforter on your bed or whatever." It gives your child permission to say, "Mom, I'll clean my room, but right now I'm starving. I got to grab something to eat." Okay. Your child learns they need to take care of their needs before they follow through with what your demands are. By including your child with, "I don't know what to make for dinner. If you want to help come up with something for dinner, you know, then we can get to talking about how your day was." It shows them that there's certain things that need to be done, and them telling you about their day is just as important as having dinner. Again, it's in your tone. Moms might get this more than dads. I'll address the moms. Ladies, you know that your very best friend who loves you dearly and would never hurt you can say something with a certain tone and you will be mad at them. And there are other times that that best friend who loves you and would never hurt you can say something without that tone, exactly word for word, the only difference is the tones, and you don't think twice about what they said. please know that that is the case with our children. When we answer in angry tones, when we answer or ask with demanding tones, it becomes a power struggle. And nobody wants a power struggle. Certainly not a child who's just had a bad day, and possibly the teachers were bossing them around, and that's why they had a bad day, and now you're saying, okay, don't tell me right now, let me get changed, I'll get dinner, and then you can tell me. Because that sounds really bossy, and that sounds like you really don't care, you're putting them off so you don't have to deal with it, and hopefully they'll forget and not want to talk later. Tone is everything. Okay, for the men out there, the dads, you heard what I just said? I can't say it in a different tone to make you understand it any better. But you already know, with a wife, with mother of your children, you already know there are certain things you can say that will get you in trouble. And another day, you can say the exact same thing and it won't get you in trouble. And I assure you, it has more to do with your tone when you said it than her tone when she heard it. If you say to a woman, babe, you look tired. You all right? You will get a lot farther than if you say, babe, you look tired. Are you all right? Okay, tones. If there's rumors at a school about teachers giving A's for cleavage, about teachers doing inappropriate things, see if you can talk to an administrator. Find out, is there any basis for these rumors? I've heard these rumors. Are they true? If they're true, what's being done about it? If they're not true, how did they start? Where did they start, and how do we end them? Because rumors, if they're false, can ruin a teacher's reputation, can ruin a person's career, can ruin a life. It's called lying. It's not rumors. It's a lie, and it needs to be ended. If there is truth to it, how much truth? Teacher inappropriately touched a student. Does that mean they stepped on the kid's toe and didn't say sorry and they were just rude? In which case, they need an upgrade on their manners. Or were they giving a student a neck massage in the middle of class? Again, it's kind of like with the tone. The details matter. If there's a rumor about a teacher, why is there a rumor about that teacher? If your student has a complaint about a teacher and they are upset and they want to be involved in stopping this, there are millions of devices out there nowadays that kids can use to secretly record a classroom. The recorder I use for the radio shows is a Tascam, T-A-S-C-A-M, and you can set it to record and you can lock it in so that you won't accidentally turn it off. And a student could record a teacher during a class for half hour, however long classes are, 45 minutes, whatever. And maybe they would catch something, maybe they wouldn't. So, record another day. It is not illegal to make a recording of a teacher in a classroom setting. And I want to emphasize that, because you're not violating their rights at all. If they are giving instruction to, you know, 15 to 20, 13-year-olds, every word they say should be acceptable to be recorded, and if they have a problem with being recorded, you need to ask why. If there's a big problem, see if you can sit in on a class. Don't sit in to the class that your student is in. Sit into that teacher's class at a different time frame. So you'd be going to that class with that teacher, but not at the same time frame as your student is. And see what the teacher is like. Of course, having a parent there is probably going to make them a little nervous. It would make me nervous if I suddenly had someone watching my every move and I would wonder why. So you have to allow for a little bit of awkwardness. But something you can do is afterwards, you know, ask the kids, you know, do you like this class, or are you not really a fan of science, or whatever the class is? You know, make it seem like it's about the topic. you can ask the kids, you know, do you like this teacher? Is he a good teacher? She a good teacher? I don't mean to imply it's always men that are doing these things wrong. It's certainly plenty of female teachers in the news doing things wrong as well. But ask them, do you like this teacher? Is this teacher easy to learn from? Do you remember a lot of what they say, or do you have to look stuff up and write stuff down? You can also ask them, did the teacher seem really nervous because I was here today? And ask it playfully. Again, tone is going to get you everywhere. Do you think I made the teacher nervous by sitting in on their class today? And smile. If the kid says, no, he's always kind of like that, you know, or no, she's always a little off, she's a little nervous. Or if they say, yeah, she just didn't seem very friendly today, I don't know, something was different. Okay, could have just been the awkwardness of having somebody sit in. Or it could be that they were watching their every word and their every movement because they had something to hide. And if they don't have anything to hide, and the way they were in front of the students is the way they always are, you might actually catch a glimpse of what's going on that's making the kids uncomfortable. So keep that in mind too. Open communication with your kids at all times concerning all subjects is the key to protecting your children from sexual assault from anyone. Open communication with your kids means that there is no topic that is off limits. It means they can talk to you about their bodies, about science class, about their pet hamster that died, about their best friend making fun of their shoes. It means that your student can talk to you about the fact that you smoke and they can't stand the way it smells, and they know they go to school smelling like stale cigarette smoke, and they're worried that's why nobody hangs out with them. They need to be able to say, Mom or Dad, I don't feel very good about myself sometimes. Do you ever feel that way about you? And be honest with them. Yeah, I have had times like that in my life. When I was a teenager, I had a lot of times like that in my life where I didn't feel very good about myself. And I really wasn't sure what to do about it. And when your kid says, what did you do about it? Be honest. Well, I joined a sports team and that helped a little bit, I think. Or I didn't do anything about it. I just felt really awkward until I became an adult, and then I realized I was an adult and just decided to just try to be an adult and maybe not feel awkward as much. I didn't really do anything about it. I probably should have. Do you ever feel that way? And ask your kid, what do you do about it when you feel that way? Do you feel that way a lot? You might be on the verge of finding out that your child has depression. You might be about to find out that your kid's being sexually assaulted and didn't know how to come out to you with what's happening, so they asked you a question about when you were little, or when you didn't feel okay in your skin. Do not be afraid to talk to your children about earthquakes and war and bombs and violence and dead hamsters. Do not be afraid to talk to your children about sex, about their bodies, about your body. Please don't show them your body. Please don't go into graphic details or graphic descriptions of your body or sex. But ask them to define their question. If they want to know what sex is, you can ask them, do you mean what's the difference between male and female, or are you filling out an application where you need to check male or female because it says sex with a question mark? Because I've heard joke stories where people say, where it said sex, the person wrote, you know, yes or no. Find out what your kids want to know. Are you asking about sex because you're thinking about doing it? Because you saw someone do it? because you just don't know what it is and you want to know, or something else. You know? And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm happy to answer your questions about sex, but that's a pretty broad topic, so I'm going to have you narrow down your questions a little more so that I know what you were wanting to know about. Because if somebody says, you know, I want to know about the world, well, are we talking about dirt, the earth, rivers and streams? Are we talking about how the planet originated? Are we talking, you know, what are we talking about? Same when a kid asks about sex or where babies come from. Ask them to narrow down their question a little more so that you know what they're looking for. When I say open communication, that means you don't dump your problems on your child, but you allow your child to see that you do have problems. If you're having financial worries, don't hide that from your kid, but don't burden them with it either. It is okay to tell your child, I'm kind of stressed right now because money's a little tight. I know it's all going to work out and it's all going to be fine, and you don't need to worry about it, but right now I'm worrying about it. So if I seem a little on edge, that's probably why. It's not because of you or anything that's going on with you or me. It's just that I'm kind of concerned that we're going to be able to make the bills this month. Make sure your child knows that you want a relationship with them. You want to be able to share with them your life at this point as you're going through it. And more importantly, you want to be a part of their life. Don't just say, how was your day, and then half listen while you cut up food to make dinner. Say, how was your day? And listen to what they say. Genuinely be there, be in that moment. I have some silly memories with my kids of the most deep and meaningful conversations we've had, and they were at the most weird times. And some of the silliest things that me and the kids did, again, just out of the blue, some of our best connecting moments where we all laughed together, where we all got the joke at the same time, where we all understood where each other was. They were so random, just up and out of the blue. Open communication with your kids at all times concerning all subjects. If you want to protect your child from sexual assault by a teacher, a teacher's aide, a coach, another adult, another kid, you have to listen and you have to talk. I realize the show is about teachers who sexually assault students, but the primary focus of the show has been open communication with your kids. But if you think about it, teachers have access to your kids without you around. And as long as you don't listen to your kids, put them off for another day, ask them later instead of now what's going on, you're making it more likely that your child will be sexually assaulted by a teacher. Because kids seek attention. And if you don't give your child attention with open communication, somebody else will. You've been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. Open communication with your kids at all times concerning all subjects, and the healing starts here.